Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, as we close out the old year and face the new year, we want to do some thinking, perhaps some meditating, and we wish to address our remarks today under the title, Facing the Future. Now, James, in his epistle, tells us how not to face the future. The future is unknown. We're not that we don't have a map, we don't have a guide for what's going to happen in the new year. But James warns us how not to face the future. In the fourth chapter of his epistle, beginning at verse 13, we read, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." James uses an arresting approach to this matter of facing the future and putting it in God's hands. He uses the words here, "go to now," whereas the New International Version says, "listen now." It's rather like the phrase that they use on Navy vessels when they make a public announcement. Now hear this, and you better listen. James is saying here, listen to what I have to say. You people that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. James is warning us, making our plans on our own will, of course, with no thought of consulting God. We do not know the future. We do not control the future. I once heard a man giving a little word of personal testimony. He says, "I do not know what the future holds, but I do hold the God of the future. He is mine. He determines, and it is folly indeed to make our plans totally independent of God." Now, I don't mean that the plans that we make for the day, something that we're doing in our task that we have to ask the Lord, "Lord, is this your will?" He gives us good common sense, and he wants us to carry on our daily tasks. But notice, please, in this text, these people are saying, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there for a year, and buy and sell and get gain." Now, that's a different matter, isn't it? Making your plans for a year in advance. Indeed, we need the leading and the guidance of God. And our life is just like the vapor, just like the steam that appears just for a moment and then vanishes away. We cannot venture out on our own into an unknown future. Now that we've considered the negative, let's consider the positive. How to face the future? Well, we've already read it in verse 15. "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." That's the way to face the future, of being willing to do God's will. There used to be an old saying, and I liked it, among the people of bygone years. They would say, "Come over to my house." And then you might answer, "Well, I'll come if the good Lord will and the creek don't rise." Well, let me tell you something. If God sends the rain and the creek rises, perhaps you better not go. Because God is the God of circumstances, and he guides by circumstance. And we do well to say, "if the Lord will." We ought to cultivate it as a habit, we Christians. No, I'm not speaking, and yet this is indeed good material for the unredeemed. But my messages now are beamed to Christian people. We ought to cultivate the habit of saying, "if the Lord will." And indeed, people will notice it, and they will be made aware of the fact that God's will is supreme. And his will is carried out in this world. Now, let's talk about subjecting ourselves to the will of God. We need to seek his leading and guidance. And we need to rely on the promise that he will guide us. We read in Psalm 32 in verses 8 and 9 these words. The psalmist is writing, "I will instruct thee." He's speaking for God, and God is the speaker. He's quoting God. "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth, rather, must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee." He said, don't be like the horse and the mule, where you have to yank on the reins and on the bit and turn the animal around. He says, rather, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." I've heard some good remarks on this phrase, "I will guide thee with mine eye." Children, when they are told to do something by their parents, they can tell by the look in the eye of their parents how soon they should act. And perhaps after they have been told to do it and have forgotten to do it, if the parent looks in the direction of his responsibility and he sees the eye of his parents, then he is reminded that he should go and do as he was told to do. Now, you know, I like that explanation, that God wants us to indeed listen to him when he says, "I will guide thee with mine eye." We should keep our eyes on the Lord. Now, there's another explanation that I also like. God can see around the corner. I've got 20/20 vision, better than 20/20 vision. I can see around the corner, and I will guide you. I will be your guide. And I like that very, very much in this matter of seeking the leading and the guidance of the Lord. We can be guided by his eye. Now, we can be sensitive to his guidance. And don't be like the mule and the horse. God wants us seeking his guidance. Now, we can be guided by his word. We read in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now, this is wonderful. Thy word will guide us. It's a lamp to my feet. It'll show me the way. It's a guide to my path. And that word will show us what we should do and perhaps when we should do it. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, we read there, "Now all these things happened unto them," and Paul is talking about the children of Israel. He's been talking about some of their failures. And he exposes them right in his epistle. And then he goes on to say, "Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples," or examples, "and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world," or the ages, in the margin has it, "are come." God wants us to be guided by the example of people in the Old Testament. And we indeed can be guided by the word of God, and he faithfully records their errors, that we might be guided. Now, we can also be guided by the Spirit of God. We read in John chapter 16, verse 13, the Lord is telling his disciples, he knows he's going to leave them. His own person, he will not in his own person be present. Of course, he is omnipresent. But they will be led by the Spirit of God. And he tells them in verse 13 of chapter 16 of John, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." The Spirit of God can be our guide. We also read in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." It's wonderful to remember how that God led his people, the children of Israel, through the desert as they left Egypt to go to the promised land. He led them by the pillar of cloud. You recall that the pillar of cloud rose directly over the sanctuary, that is the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle. That pillar of cloud was always present by day. It was a cloud. By night, it was a glowing fire. Now, God told the children of Israel, as long as that cloud rests upon the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle, you're to stay where you are. But if you get up in the morning and that cloud has risen off the tabernacle, that means today that you will march. This is a marching day. So you can well imagine that every morning when the children of Israel got up, their first glance was to the tabernacle. Was the cloud resting? If it was, very well, they would remain there for the day. If it was risen, they would break camp and prepare to travel. Now, after they broke camp, and the time to come to march, and the trumpets were blown to march, that cloud would begin to move. And it would move, the pillar of cloud would move through the desert and lead them on the way that they should go. This is also instructive. The Spirit of God leads us in our lives. He leads us by the Word of God, and He leads us by circumstances. And we should remember, as we said at the beginning of the broadcast, that God is the God of circumstances. Now, the Spirit of God can give us and register with our intelligence, with our wisdom, with our inner ear, with our spiritual ear, so to speak. He can lead us and guide us, and He wants to do so. Now, as we face the future, we rely on the promise of God for His strength. In Isaiah 41 and 10, we read these wonderful words, "Fear thou not," God is speaking to Israel, "for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I will strengthen thee." Isn't it wonderful, Christian, to know that you do not have to go through the next year on your own strength, that you have the promise of God, "I will strengthen thee." Isn't that something to face the future with, this promise of God which He wants us to claim? Now also, we should rely upon God for our needs. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, Paul doesn't say, "My God shall supply all your wants." Sometimes our wants outstrip our needs, but he says, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory." The Christian is well fortified to face the future. Let's keep our eyes on the Lord. Our Father, today we pray that this message shall not be lost upon us, that we shall look to Thee and seek to be guided by Thy will through the year that is to come. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.